It is Saturday, March 15th, 2008, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California today on Geek Speak, a bit of the week in geek news, and in the second half, your questions and comments of technology.
The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Hey, we're doing a pledge drive today. I want you to call up if you listen to the show regularly. If you don't, call up. I want you to pledge this hour. The phone numbers are 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. And here's what I want. During this 1 hour of Geek Speak, I'd like 12 people to pledge. Now, got a little incentive here. If you call up and you pledge, whether you pledge or not, you can get entered into a raffle for a free DVD burner or a Blu-ray player. So that's what you can do. And again, the phone numbers I'll give in just a second. But Miles first has a little bit more of an incentive for you. Hey, Miles, morning.
Hi. An anonymous donor from UCSC has pledged $500 that we will match for any, dollar for dollar, for any pledge that comes in from you. So any amount that you put in, that you call in with, that you donate to KUSP is doubled during this hour.
Great. We also have some more incentives because, we love you. Any case, this is what they are. Every $100 that we get during the pledge drive, doesn't matter how we get it, right? Every $100, we're going to plant a tree. So that's good. And if you donate for $365, we'll plant 5 trees just for you. So there's a lot going on here. Now, in any case, let's get into the show. That was Miles Elam. I'm Lyle Trox. Let me do a little bit more introductions.
The numbers?
The phone number? Yeah, go ahead and do it again.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
All right, go ahead.
Call up 1-888-777-1507. That's 888-777-1507. Or pledge at the secure website, kusp.org.
This is Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks. Well, that was Miles Elam, geek student of all and master of nothing. I'm Miles.
Pleasure to be here.
We also have Timothy Jordan of The Timothy Jordan Show. Morning, Timothy.
Good morning, Lyle.
So we were going to be doing geek news today, and in the second half, we're going to be taking calls and questions and comments and all that stuff. So let's just jump right into the news. I think we'll do Timothy first.
Oh, goodness.
Right on you, man.
I'm ready. No, totally. I'm totally ready. Hey, so my first news story for you today is about the iPhone SDK. Can I tell you I'm excited?
Please do.
Oh, I'm excited. How's that? So here's the thing.
It's practically glowing here in the air room, folks.
Well, I've been waiting for so long. Miles, you have an iPhone.
Yes, I do.
Lyle, you have an iPhone.
I do.
Tell me you're not as excited as I am.
You know, I love the iPhone. I really do.
Oh,
and it's not a commercial
platform.
For it. It's a wonderful platform.
Well, it's a really, really, really great platform, and I'm excited to see what it can do. And we got a glimpse of that recently when Steve Jobs did his not nearly a keynote, his little speech.
Yeah.
They have a little bunker somewhere underground where they put all the press in.
And we talked about the SDK last week because it had been announced, but now there's like all this buzz about problems and issues, and you want to address those?
Well, here's the thing. This is my big problem with it, and it's more like a political problem, not so much a technical problem. I think the technical problems are to be expected.
Right.
It's a beta SDK. The thing is a 2 gigabyte download. I mean, it's huge, and
right,
there's a lot of information there, and there's a lot of code. But here's the thing, is that it's out there, and if you're a programmer, you can download it and start programming
apps. I downloaded
it.
I made a Hello World app already. It's
great.
Cool.
Did you put it on your phone?
I did not put it on my phone because I don't know if you can, but go on.
See, that's the thing, is I believe you can get it on there yourself.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to distribute it, and people aren't going to be able to purchase it from you until June.
Right. Now, also, it kind of requires the 2.0 release of the software
update. Exactly.
And so you can't get that unless you're one of the developer beta And I guess there's been issues that Apple's saying you can't be on the program necessarily, even if you want to spend $100 a year. So this is the thing,
you can download the SDK and you can make
use
apps.
Virtually.
And hopefully, even if not now, by June, you'll be able to install those apps on your own phone.
Right.
But to distribute the apps, Apple has to approve the application,
right,
which is nothing new for Apple. They really like to make sure that every application comes through the pipeline, represents the best of the platform, and works like they want it to work. So that's kind of the issue right now, is that although we've got this cool communist agenda where everybody can download the SDK, we don't yet have the communist agenda where now you can redistribute your apps to everyone.
I was relatively excited about the SDK for quite a while, and I have not hacked my phone. And last week, after the SDK was released, I was like, you know what, I want to play a little bit.
Once you found out that it wasn't going to be released in March, you realized you got to wait until June.
I went ahead and cracked my phone and got terminal working, some other things, and so
I
was
able
to terminal
on the iPhone.
I was able I've been able to, a few times now, restart the GeekSpeak website from my phone. I kind of restart it regularly, anyways, because there's problems with the code. Thanks, Miles.
But
I was able to do it with the phone, so now I can do it anywhere, which is kind of nice. And the applications on it, there's so many applications already on this hacked world, where there's a lot less people. I was really impressed that there's going to be just tons of apps on this thing.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that the people love the platform.
Yeah, the iPhone,
and developers alike love the platform,
yeah,
and so they really want to develop for it, and they would love to do it above the table with Apple's tools and write applications that way. But I mean, they were promised the SDK in February, and now we got the SDK, but they can't even really release the programs until June. And so it's been kind of what we've expected from Apple, is that they are kind of moving slow with the development.
Yep.
But what I'd like to believe, and I'm going to continue to believe, is that what that means is that when the applications finally come down to us, they're going to work, and they're going to work wonderfully.
Totally. Miles, you had something to add to this story?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, in just a minute, Miles is going to tell us all about a thing that Google's doing about the sky. But first, we need to do a little bit of this. Miles, you're starting this one out, so you ready?
Actually, no, I'm not.
Oh, you don't have it?
I'm completely
you didn't open. So remember I said, Miles, you should send off the stuff you're going to say in the pledge bribe to email?
Yeah.
And no, I don't have it. No,
I wanted to see what you were...
Okay.
Okay, I see. Oh, okay, you know,
this is what we're doing. We're swapping out... We're swapping the pledge bribes. Well, let's go to number two, and Timothy, you're starting.
Number two.
A professional radio guy, so go for it.
Okay, yeah. KUSP is asking your feedback about news segments. We want to know if what we found in our other research is true for you, our listener. In our research, we found that people have the most interest in national and international news, then regional news, then local news. Is that how you feel? Also, is national or international news more important to you? How important is it that we feature local news and information on our programs? Let us know how you feel and the way you feel. It will really help shape the station.
Now, being geeks, we are a little ahead of the times. 2 months ago or so, I asked you for your feedback about our new theme songs. We got a great theme song. We've been playing for like 8 years. We've been playing a Devo song called Through Being Cool. And I just played it a little while ago. And I wanted to change it. And a listener who's part of the band Ubugogo submitted one of their songs, and really, really a great song. Really loved it. And so I asked all of you what you thought about it before going to the new theme, and you responded in droves to some degree. We need that right now. We need your participation to help shape KUSP. Miles?
And we had some great feedback on that. We had Penny, who said the old theme is cheeky and makes you want to stay tuned to listen to the geeks. The new theme makes you want to change the station. Not so good. But we had also Don saying go for it, and also he says he claims some authority over our complainers. He's 70 years old, so if he says go for it, the rest of the audience has to shut up. it's sometimes there were fairly extreme examples, but in the end, it looks like...
Well, yeah, I'll tell you that in a second. I just want to say that we do want your feedback right now. So pick up your phone. The phone number is 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. And during this 1 hour, you can also enter into a drawing to get a free DVD player, a lot of other things. But yeah, we did look at your feedback, as Miles said. Oh, and in just a second, we are going to get back to news. Miles got a great story about Google Sky. But we took all your feedback in, and it helped me a lot. The song by Ubugogo is a great song. In fact, the whole album that they've sent me was just great. I like the band a lot. You can find Ubugogo from our website, geekspeak.org. But in any case, the song is not really fun, easygoing, like, look how dorky we are, and we don't care kind of feeling that Devo's song through being cool is. So with your help, we are keeping our old song, as you clearly heard from the beginning of the show. So keep participating with GeekSpeak. Keep telling us why GeekSpeak works for KOSP works for you. Keep participating, and call us right now.
Yes, call us right now. Become a KUSP member and tell us what you think of the station and our programs. Call 888-777-1507. That's 888-777-1507. Or make a pledge online at KUSP.org. That's KUSP.org. We decided to stick with the old theme song because of your feedback, so it definitely gets read and considered. During this hour of Geek Speak, you can call in to enter our drawing. You do not need to make a pledge to enter our drawing, though pledges are lovely.
They sure are.
Once again, the number is 888-777-1507, or make a pledge online at kusp.org. That number, 888-777-1507, or make a pledge online at kusp.org.
So, Miles,
and before I move on to that news story, I just have one final quote that I need to share.
Oh, yes,
from Mary from Wisconsin, who said, "I'll miss the Through Being Cool tune. It was my favorite part of the show."
Ouch.
Oh.
Well, luckily, we won't lose her as a listener because we're going to keep playing that song. So, who was that that called this?
That was Mary from Wisconsin.
Mary, thank you so much.
It was great. She did
for
put a happy face on that.
Oh,
she
good. There's a happy face? Okay, I'll forget. Right. So, what's up with Google Sky? What is this thing?
Google Sky is
so cool.
The equivalent of Google Maps, but think of it for astronomy. Think of it for the night sky. So www.google.com/sky, S-K-Y. And you're able to look at images and information having to do with Hubble, from the Hubble telescope, things that you can see from your backyard if you have a telescope, things like the local group
cluster of
galaxies, different items in X-ray, ultraviolet, infrared, different showcases in that way, you know, bouncing around, being able to zoom in on Mars.
Does it kind of sync up with where you are, and you can kind of do that so it tells you what you can see currently?
Well, I'm pretty sure that all the photos are from our point of view on this planet, so I guess.
So you're saying it's not – what I'm asking is, can I take my laptop with Google Sky and go out at night and say, okay, I'm here on the planet. What can I see right now? And it gives me an image, and I go, oh, cool. And then I look up, and there it is.
So sure about that. It does – actually, when you do move around, it does tell you 69 degrees by – 47 minutes.
Yeah.
36
Timothy, that,
seconds.
Wow. Was that you're looking at it now?
I'm looking at it right now. You know what the cool thing about all this stuff really is that when you look at the sky with a telescope, you see the universe through the filter of our atmosphere.
Right.
Whereas when you look at it through Google Sky, you're getting images from the Hubble telescope and other infrared. And that's the really cool part, right? You're looking at it as it appears, not as our filter of the atmosphere.
Now, questioning my geek credentials now. What was the name of the telescope that is now trailing the Earth? So it's no longer.
I don't know. So sorry. I did hear great stuff about that. I listened to a great podcast called Astronomy Cast. I highly recommend it if you're into astronomy. And one of the things they talk about is where the gravitational points are that you can put telescopes that are, like, for example, something that doesn't orbit us but actually trails us. So we're pulling it along with us, and it's orbiting the sun like we are. And Earth's helping it not stay close and not collide with Earth. It's like a balance point. In any case, though, Google Sky. Thank you very much, Miles. Timothy, your next story, sir.
Oh, but I'm on Google Sky. It's so cool. Okay. What do I got here?
You can multitask.
So, okay. So, hey, you know, there's this really great story that on my show yesterday, which broadcasts on Friday.
Timothy
at 5,
Jordan Show at KZSC. Sure. Yeah,
that's the one.
You had to push that, didn't you?
I did. Well, this is important because this was our award of excellence, which our senior political correspondent, Alex Stefanski, compiles every week. And this is the gentleman that got it, Dustin Brooks. He got the Award of Excellence this week, which is, as you can imagine, there's a lot of competition for this award. It's a big deal.
Of course.
So you're familiar with this Gmail thing, right?
Yeah, I use Gmail.
I'm a fan of Gmail. It's a great application. Well,
web email.
Yeah,
really
free
effective.
Web email.
Google makes it.
And you get Google search in there and everything, so you never have to move things. Well, just beautiful, beautiful application. Anyway, a number of people have really been wanting to archive their Gmail off the Gmail server so that they have a copy of it. Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing about it is the Gmail backs
Gmail
it up.
Controls it.
And we can roughly trust them that our data will be safe. But, you know, it'd be nice to have our own copy, too. Well, this guy John Terry made an application called GArchiver, and I do not recommend anyone use this.
Okay, why not?
Let me say this again. Do not use this program. GArchiver, do not use it. Gmail, excellent. GArchiver, not so excellent. Turns out this programmer, Dustin Brooks, the recipient of the Award of Excellence, found, as he was looking through the code, he used GArchiver, thought it'd be cool, and then he decided to look at how it worked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, edification, all that sort of thing. Well, he found John's username and password in Gmail, which seemed a little, or in the GArchiver, which seemed a little
weird.
Strange.
Or careless.
Or careless, you know, whatever. And but you know, enough for a little more inspection to be due. And so he did do a little more inspection. It turns out that John Terry put in his GArchiver program a little bit of code that would email himself every username and password of every user that
who
used GArchiver.
So he was collecting passwords of users from Google.
So from Dustin Gmail. Brooks figures, well, I suppose this means I can log into his account without much concern
about privacy. Oh, the guy
that
actually went to...
So Dustin Brooks actually logs into John Terry's account and sees all these username and passwords.
Right.
So he takes it upon himself to email every user in John Terry's account that must have used GArchiver about what had happened.
And a warning saying
warning
change,
them,
your password.
Change your password. Yeah, yeah. And then he warned Google and deleted John Terry's account.
So John Terry no more, buddy.
John Terry no more.
The account or just deleted all the emails that were collected in there?
I believe he deleted the whole account.
Yeah, you can close the account. You can close a Gmail account.
But after warning Gmail, because I don't know if they could find out personal information about John Terry, but Gmail probably had enough information to make sure he didn't get an account again.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so the Award of Excellence goes to?
The Award of Excellence goes to Dustin Brooks.
For figuring that out.
What a guy.
Yeah, it's great. And,
man, what a guy.
And if you want to actually archive your Gmail stuff, Gmail supports IMAP. So all you have to is get a standard email client, connect up to Gmail, or go to Gmail's, turn on IMAP service.
So Mail would work, Thunderbird would work.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And there's Outlook if you want it to work poorly.
Then you have a copy of all of your mail on that computer in an easy-to-use application that you're probably already familiar with.
Yeah,
right. And if you use Gmail, you can actually find out how to do that, connecting up to a mail client and using it by going to the Gmail help, and it's quite easy, pictures and everything.
And the really cool part about that is then you can get your email on your system at home and anywhere you are. You're just a web browser away.
And when you're
so
not
you got
connected,
two copies.
Right.
And
when you're not connected on your wireless or whatever, you still have your
still
copy.
Have your email.
That's how I use Gmail.
And I do want people to know that we are here every week talking tech, you know, geeking out. Still, you have to think about how much it costs to get tech support. Calling in to a tech support center to get your questions answered or to get advice and on, I don't actually know the current rates these days, but I'm pretty sure it's
about $70 to $100 an hour just for the first initial consultation. That's about how much it costs.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
I charge a lot.
Well,
like a ridiculous amount.
I am in the wrong line of work.
Yes, being a student normally doesn't make for a
Don't get me wrong. I like the folks here in the air room with me. I've read to Lyle's kids at night. I enjoy their company.
Thank you, Lyle.
And most of all, for my profession.
And read to me at night.
Yeah, I'm working towards a teacher's credential.
Yes.
I like doing this.
I like teaching.
I do enjoy doing this. And at the same time, it costs money to broadcast our voices over the air and over the internet.
Yeah.
That's where you come in. You keep the lights on and the transmitters humming. You're the ones who keep KUSP going. And we're not getting paid for this. We're doing this just because we like hanging out with each other and we're masochistic
so
that way. But
see, your old premise there, Miles, is donate to KUSP because you want to keep Miles on the air. And I don't know if that's a good argument.
I think it's a good argument. I appreciate you, Miles. Just want you to know that. Hey, what you're getting here, a dialogue with us, which is shared over the air, is free. That's what Miles is saying. And it's public radio, and you aren't going to get that kind of dialogue for free at a computer shop. Or maybe even on commercial radio. Like Geek Speak on KUSP, computer shops have to pay the bills. But they also have to pay the technicians a good hourly wage. And here we are, technicians with experience, volunteering our time and helping you pay, and with your help paying the station's bills, we're able to keep the services the station brings you healthy.
Thank you.
That's that sentence, Lyle. But no, seriously, like, we're here out of the goodness of our hearts because we just really enjoy this. And all we're asking is that you help us continue to bring you this service by taking care of some of the bills at the
station.
That's
right. And to help take care of the bills and to keep the dialogue open, we really want you right now, pick up your phone, give us a call. The phone numbers are 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. 1507. And because we're geeks, we pulled Sony and they donated a whole bunch of DVD players and a Blu-ray player, and we're giving those away to anyone that calls during the Geek Speak Hour. You don't actually have to pledge any amount. And if you go online to KOSP.org, you can actually put in a zero amount contribution and sign up that way. I mean, we were really saying anybody can do this. You listen to Geek Speak, you can get a free DVD player just into the drawing. Okay. At the same time, we really would like your contributions. Right now, we've had 3 pledges during the Geek Speak Hour. I want 9 more because I want to have a good solid number of people saying during Geek Speak that they want to support KUSP. So right now, I want you to call 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. And in just a second, Miles is going to cover one more news story. What do you got for us, Miles?
And once again, there's an anonymous donor from UCSC that's still matching your donations.
One of my colleagues up at UCSC.
Right. That's right. Contribute now, double your money.
That's right. Miles, what's the next news story you're going to be covering?
Next news story is going to be about peer-to-peer traffic by Verizon.
We're talking about always like sharing peer-to-peer, like BitTorrent and stuff. And that's the news happening with Verizon. Miles got the whole handle on that. let me get all geeky with the numbers about how I want you to participate and how much geeks cost. Okay, so I invite about 2 geeks a week on GeekSpeak. Including me, we have an average of 3. With 52 weeks, that gives you 156 geek hours on air. At an average hourly rate of, let's say, $60. Wait, Miles is here. So average rate, about $40 an hour. That's a value that's a value of $6,240 in just us, which we volunteer every week. And that's just the content. Then it has to be delivered to you. We got 2 main FM carriers and 6 translators. That's a lot of sites covering the central coast of California. We're not asking you to pay for all this. Just what you feel is fair.
Now, during the news, you're going to be hearing different items. Like, for example, I'm going to be talking about the Verizon story and I'm going to be talking about P2P. At the same time, you may have heard something like this from other news programs, from the national news content of NPR on this station, for example. And you may have heard about peer-to-peer or, you know, music piracy or what are people doing with net neutrality and these terms being bandied about in a political sense rather than how we would discuss it from the geek perspective. Talking about what is peer-to-peer? How does it work? Where does it fit in?
What are the social ramifications of it? How does it affect your world in the future? It's a perspective you're not going to hear.
And how will it affect our perspectives in the future? Where is the technology going? What is the next step?
Yeah.
Not just where we are today, but where we're going to be tomorrow. Something that you won't necessarily get from other sources.
Right. That's why we're vital. That's why the geeks are vital. That's very true.
So act now, because you get a different perspective, and you appreciate that perspective. Call us and show us your appreciation. And make your pledge at 888-777-1507. That's 888-777-1507. Or make a pledge online at KUSP.org. That's KUSP.org.
Miles, what's up with peer-to-peer?
P2P, known as peer-to-peer, normally seen as the letters P, the number 2, letter P, is a technology. You may have come across it with BitTorrent, LimeWire, Azurius, other clients like this. That when you're downloading you download a small file from a torrent tracker site, and you, instead of downloading the whole file from a single website, what you're doing is downloading a piece of that file. And other people are downloading pieces of that file. Different pieces of that file. And instead of everyone grabbing the whole piece.
Let's do it in the room here. So I've got 8 years of GeekSpeak episodes in one giant file that everyone could get, right?
Ooh.
So I've cut it up into little tiny chunks. And now, Miles, you start to download. And I
give me the first show.
I give you the first show, okay, even though it would actually be a whole bunch of stuff. But I give you one file, one part of it. And then Timothy comes along, and he gets part 2. And then the next time you guys are ready to download, you actually ask
for... Hey, Tim, you got part 2?
Yeah, you got part 1?
Yeah.
Sweet, here you go.
And the load just got released from me, so the next person that wants something joins in on that, and my load is not impacted as much, and all of us download faster. So that's point-to-point sharing, or P2P.
Yeah,
or
peer-to-peer. Yeah.
Peer-to-peer.
Now, there's been, in the industry, a big reluctance to use peer-to-peer. There's been talk about copyright infringement and the like. But from the technology standpoint, it is extremely useful for reducing costs for an ISP.
Right.
Where for an ISP, the local network, in other words, a Verizon customer to another Verizon customer in your neighborhood, is extremely fast.
Right.
It's extremely efficient.
We're four doors away from each other. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what they're looking for is something they're calling P4P, which is their own little way of saying proactive network provider participation
Their own little marketing anyway. Stuff. But what that means is that normally BitTorrent or other technologies are finding a peer randomly on the internet that you're going to be sharing from. What this is doing is using the same concept of sharing files, but making sure that people who are on your local network get priority for who's going to be a peer.
Yeah.
So if a lot of Verizon customers want to download a file, they're all going to be sharing that bandwidth, reducing the cost for Verizon, but at the same time increasing the download speed for each of their customers.
Right.
It's a win-win scenario.
Yeah. And it's funny, Miles, because you predicted this about like a year ago. You said, you know, if the ISPs would just start having some data storage and some BitTorrent participation, they would increase the speed and they would decrease the load on their outside network, which is what they actually pay for. Well, you predicted this, as I recall.
Well, they're announcing this, but they've probably been working on it for a while. So who knows if, you know, I was...
The truth of the matter is they heard you a year ago and started working on it.
Yes,
so you didn't predict it, you created it. Thank you very
much. I appreciate you too, Miles.
GeekSpeak is supported by Business of Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. You're listening to GeekSpeak. The numbers to call in for questions and comments of technology are the same as they are every week. They're 476-2800. That is 476-2800. Or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-KUSP. And when you do call in with a question and comment for any of us, we can answer anything you'd like today. We're going to do it for the whole half an hour and the rest of the show. You can also participate in the giveaway. So you can put your name in the hat for the drawing of the DVD burners. And, of course, you're welcome to call us at any time during the show and pledge your support to KUSP. The numbers are 1-888-777-1507. More on that in just a second. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Timothy Jordan of The Timothy Jordan Show and Miles Elam, a Slacker geek and student.
We sound so much less impressive.
We don't. Dude, we remember when we used to have Sean Cleveland? We're like, Sean Cleveland, master... man at NVIDIA.
I feel like I do some cool stuff, and I think you do too, Miles. I think we're impressive.
I think you're
impressive.
You like me?
I appreciate you. I didn't say like, but I do appreciate you.
If you like us and appreciate us, go ahead and pledge to the station. But if you want to ask us questions, because the truth is we're full of it, the phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800. Or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. Ask us anything you'd like. Stay tuned with KUSP for Castle Cottage this morning at 11 a.m. That's just like 25 minutes away from you now on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
You know what would be great?
What?
If I can just give another little pledge thing.
Sure.
Well, because I like pledging, and I love non-commercial radio. I think it's a vital service in our society. I would love it if everyone who's listening to GeekSpeak right now, who's called in and got their question answered over the last so many years that this program has been on the air, if you could just take a moment and realize what that was worth to you and pledge that amount. Maybe that advice was worth, you know, a few bucks or maybe a bit more. Just call in and pledge that amount.
Yeah. The phone numbers are 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. And we got a lot of reasons to call, but we'll talk about that in just a second. I want to start taking calls. The phone numbers for for calling in are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800, or toll free at 800-655-5877. Again, that's 800-655-5877. And as we're waiting for a call, let's go and do another news story. And I believe it's Timothy Jordan's time.
I just barely have another news story.
Well, that's how perfect.
This is interesting. As much as I dislike giving extra press to Microsoft and its subsidiaries, I think I have to on this. It turns out Microsoft is developing a program that classifies news stories according to whether liberal or conservative bloggers are linking to them, and also measures quote-unquote emotional intensity based on the number of keywords in those posts, which is both interesting and scary.
Creepy. So what you're saying is it's not just that – so they take a blogger and they say this blogger is this, you know, specific type of blogger, whatever.
They're definitely classifying
bloggers.
But then when they find posts, they crawl the web and they see who's linking to those posts.
Yeah.
And if it's conservative people linking, then it's, you know, it tallies up conservative. If it's liberal people linking, then it tallies up liberal.
But the thing is, if a conservative writer were to link to a link, you're not sure if they're making fun of it or if they're agreeing with it.
You're
so
not.
It also does diagnose on what they're saying and tries to figure
One
out.
One would hope.
It's also such a shame to me that we would be concentrating this. Like, if I'm already a liberal, to only see or have a heightened weight for the research results for other liberal sources, it becomes a sound chamber.
It's like, horrible, isn't it?
Not being able to
and
hear
the
other
it,
side.
And the thing is, it just enforces that fighting instead of solution solving. But then again, I'm a liberal, so that's my...
You're both right. It raises all sorts of troubling questions. For example, you know, why just two? Why just liberal and conservative? We're not a two-sided society. Also, what is the purpose of classification? What is the purpose of staying on one side of the aisle and reading that news? And I think it's limiting. I think, you know, we see that in all sorts of media organizations like Fox News, if I can badmouth them for a moment. Right?
Not to mention, if you were to go onto a media source or you're going to talk, that someone could key in your name and go, oh, liberal, turn off. Or, conservative.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
affecting employment, like part of the background check for someone to say what's their political affiliation, but having it be anonymous like that.
Oh goodness! I mean, it's scary and it's concerning. And you know, what exactly are the keywords that measure emotional intensity? Because I would like to get a hold of that list and throw off these statistics. Anyway, it's whether it creeps you out as much as it does me or not. I think it's definitely a project to watch, and we'll link to it on the GeekSpeak site later today.
Message on station KEC 49. This is an Amber Alert message from the California Highway Patrol. The child abduction occurred on March 15th at 6:51 a.m. in Shingle Springs, California. The child's name is Andrew Bailey, 2-year-old black male. The suspect is Charles Bailey, 50-year-old black male, possibly driving a 1995 white Honda Passport, California license plate number 4AJA283. To report possible sightings, call 911.
You are listening to Geek Speak on KUSP. It's time now, right now, for me to tell you that, Miles, I guess it's actually you, this one.
The one that you never gave me?
Timothy, you got this? No. Okay.
I'll take it.
No, I'll take it. This is what's going on right now. I want to let you know that the KUSP right now is doing this great thing where we've figured out a way to participate in planting trees. So every $100,
that's so cool.
Every $100 that we get during this entire pledge drive, for every $100 we're going to plant a tree. And KUSP is kind of going green, and you can help support the Earth and KUSP at the same time by just participating in our pledge drive. So I want to push in this time right now to say that if you – and we're going to try to entice you. If you donate $365, if you pledge $365 to KUSP, you will actually plant 5 trees. So we've got kind of extra incentive there. So that's a pretty nice thing. And the numbers are?
888. That's 888-1-888-777-1507. That's 888-777-1507. Or online at KUSP.org.
Now, we are taking calls with questions and comments of technology. You can ask us anything you'd like. We do have one person on air, which we're about to go to, or one person online. But you're welcome to call us and get in the queue to ask us about hard drives or computers or space, whatever you want. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800. Now, of course, you can go to geekspeak.org and contact us. You can participate in our forums. We want your feedback. There's this great forum thing that Alex put up, and we're answering technical questions all the time up there. That's at geekspeak.org, and of course, you could participate that anytime. We volunteer our time. Right now, I do want you to participate with something that's very important, and that is to support the station. You love the station. You listen to it all the time. You like GeekSpeak. You're listening now, even though we're silly. So the phone numbers right now, I'd like you to call, and as an incentive, I asked Sony to give us some DVD burners, USB DVD burners, which are nice, which means you can plug it into your computer and burn a DVD or CD. Very cool. Or they're asked to give us one internal Blu-ray drive, which means that you can watch Blu-ray content on your computer. Now, all those things, are available. Those two items, there's a whole bunch of them, whatever, are available right now if you call us and let us know. So the way you do this is you go to, you pick up your phone, you call 888-777-1507. I'll give out that number in just a second again. And you say, I want to, well, you just call and say, this is who I am and I want to participate in the drawing for the DVD burner. Okay. At the same time, of course, you can say, you know, and since I'm called, I'll give you $10. Whatever you feel is right. I would like to have 10 more people during this hour pledge their support to KUSP because it shows that you care about GeekSpeak. And I like that because I care a lot about GeekSpeak, obviously.
The phone number. Say yes to GeekSpeak.
That's right.
Say yes to KUSP. Say yes to trees.
And for the technical audience out there, say yes to web pledges. Get it done quicker. You don't have to be at a phone. You're already at your computer.
Yeah.
Type in the URL. KUSP.org.
The phone numbers again are 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. Now, from Santa Cruz, Steve has called us, and welcome, Steve. No. Dun, 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 dun. No, we lost Steve, unfortunately. Okay, well, go ahead and go
to
the
thank yous. I do have some thank yous. Albert from Santa Cruz, thank you very much. He's a new member. Tom from Felton, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
And Steve from Santa Cruz, thank you so much for pledging to KUSP.
Ah, Steve,
wonderful.
Thank you.
I wonder if it's the same Steve we just lost. And his question, which we can just take because he called the number and asked us, we can just take it off air. The question was, is anyone putting together a homebrew supercomputer to model climate modeling? Can you guys know
the answer is yes.
And what is it?
Many of the large supercomputers that are out there now are, in fact, standard commodity PCs running Linux in a Beowulf cluster. So having, I don't know, something on the order of a few thousand CPUs all working on the same problem. And one of the things they have been that you use these supercomputers for is climate modeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the biggest supercomputers.
But is this a homebrew supercomputer? Or is this a created supercomputer? I mean,
the problem with homebrew supercomputers is still the power issue. Now, the Beowulf cluster that you talk about, just for our listeners' mm-hmm. edification, is that essentially it's a whole bunch of computers that each get a little part of the program or a little part of the mm-hmm. equation
right.
or what have you to compute. And all since they're all working together, it gets done a lot faster. So that's the clustering supercomputer. And the great thing about these is that pretty much anybody can put them together.
Right.
But it's you would really need a pretty big geological geek to dedicate the time and money to
and
putting
power.
One of those together.
But you can do it in small ways, too. What's the program that allows you to just kind of use your computers in the screensaver form? Is that Beowulf program? Is that something else?
No, that's something else.
SETI.
But you're talking about, like, SETI at Home.
Yeah, SETI at
example.
Home was the first model of it. Now it's kind of been genericized to some degree, and people can kind of register for it. Do you recall what it's called? What we'll do is we'll do some Google, some research for it, and we'll put that information up on the show. But basically, you can install on your computer an application which is kind of functions as a screensaver. Basically, whenever you're not using your CPU, is cranking out information, and SETI's the most famous of
that. Yeah, but is that a homebrew? Like, when they talk about a homebrew supercomputer, when he talks about that, I do think of those setups. Even though, let's say there's a government, like Japan, building up these Beowulf clusters of computers, there's still these commodity PCs. They're not the specialized
piece
of hardware like a Cray.
They're standard computers at this point. Or PlayStations.
Anybody can put them together.
Yeah, right. There's nothing special about these other than the cost of the hardware to put them in, the network interlinks and,
Steve,
and the like.
Steve, did we answer your question?
Not quite.
Okay, well, go ahead and clarify what your question was.
Okay. There are a variety of programs that there's like this thing EDGCM from Columbia, mm-hmm. and it's this thing where you do you run this model and you try to build a number of meters. But I have been teaching meteorology by presentation to 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, and mm-hmm. I wanted to show them actually how you put together climate models and actually putting together a working one. There are several books
you kind of want to have a development platform that you can use this model that you helped to write.
Rather than what you usually do, it's like the SETI thing where you download their thing and you basically get this software where you run it and it's it's not source code, so you can't compile it.
Right. Okay. So what's specifically your question for us? Because it sounds like you're kind of the expert on figuring out the model itself. You want to know about building a computer.
What's the relative of availability? You know, the relative of availability of, you know, high power, cheap computers these days. As
I see.
Far
okay.
As, you know,
well,
say,
I think
say
the
linking, I think your first.
Sure. I think the first thing to say is that you don't necessarily want high power computers because those are going to be really expensive. What you want is just be ability to take any machine and get it running to add to your system. So in that sense, to some degree, they're free because people are tossing computers all the time. So if you have enough know-how to take an old, you know, Pentium 3 and make a system out of it, that can add to your network to some degree. Miles?
That said, the standard CPUs that are out there, the ones that aren't at the high end, yeah, just at the middle or kind of trailing down the bottom end of the bell-shaped curve, are really fast.
And when you put 100 of them together in a cluster...
Yeah, so exactly how complex is this climate model that you're making? Does it need to be the biggest, the best?
Well, there are several versions of the models. I can explain very briefly. The extremely high power computers, like the ones at the University of Oklahoma, are devoted to these things that are called MM5 modeling, which this is modeling.
You know what? This is a totally cool conversation. I kind of actually want to have you on to talk about climate modeling stuff, but because we're doing a call-in show and the phone number and people are calling in with questions, I want to keep going to people's questions. But it sounds really cool. I think that's the answer is, if you're just trying to show off how this whole system works to students, I would build a system with like three computers. And I would look at the Beowulf project, because you can get their CD, the live CD that allow it to run, and participate to some degree in that.
What I'm thinking about proceeding.
Yeah, good luck on it. And you know what? Keep us posted. If you'd like to start up a thread on our forums, I think the geeks would really like to engage in this. Like,
I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, if I have an old machine, I'll donate it. If you're local, you know, you can get an old machine for me. So thank you.
I will get on your forum and
thank you so much.
All my information and all that.
Thank you so much, Steve, for the call. We're going to take another call from Atlanta, Georgia. But first, I want to tell you that you can call in with questions and comments of technology. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800. Or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. And you can ask us anything you'd like. If you've got a broken computer, you want to buy a new computer, your microscope is broken, whatever you want, you're welcome to give us a call and we will be able to answer you. Probably not truthfully, but we'll answer you. And I just want to also say that we are in the middle of a pledge drive. I want to get 12 people to donate during the Geek Speak Hour. We still need 4 more people to donate. So please call us right now. Pledge your support to KOSP. The numbers for pledging, 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. So, you know, it rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Of course, you can go to geekspeak.org, KUSP.org, and participate in a whole different lots of ways. And we are giving away free DVD burners and a Blu-ray burner if you do call us and pledge or just put your name in the hat for that. You don't even need to give us money. The phone numbers, again, are 888-777-1507. And I want to really push that a colleague of mine, I work at UCSA, was gracious enough to put in some serious money, $500, I believe, to say anybody that participates matching at this time will get their money doubled. So basically, they're kind of giving you an extra incentive to call and pledge. 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. We are going to take Larry, I believe, from Atlanta, Georgia. Larry, welcome to Geek Speak.
First to say, guys, thank you so much. And actually, I try to hear your show every Saturday.
Thank you so much, guys.
I'm calling you because I need some help a little bit, guys. My background is I operate a very very small, actually one man property management business, and what I do also is help investors and landlords either avoid or manage what I call problem tenants or deadbeat tenants.
Okay.
Having said that, guys, I'm calling you what I'd like to do is set up some online forum, so to speak, you know, where people of my state can kind of share experiences on problem tenants and what they do.
Okay,
so you want to
make kind of a social network of people, landlords, so they can help to help each other with solutions to solve troubled tenants. Makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
The thing that I like for groups at this point, there's a couple different things. First off, if you want to meet people in your area or you want them to meet each other, there's a site called meetup.com. And what you can do there is you can say, I have this interest and add it. And anybody else that goes there can add it. And then what you do is kind of a word of mouth. And what then you can do is plan meetings, which is just great. I use it for Ruby on Rails development. And there's even one for geeks in Santa Cruz, which is pretty cool. The other site that I'd recommend for community building, because putting up a whole system to do this is a little complicated, but Google Groups has a great system. You don't actually have to have a Gmail account. You can log in with, I think, any email address. You just have to kind of participate first. But Google Groups, don't you think that's pretty good?
I think it's super.
And the older one that I've used for years, Yahoo Groups.
Yahoo's tried and tested, and a lot of people use it. The one thing I will add to that, and this is sort of like an off-tech topic, is that I know there are lots of privacy rules and regulations that you'll want to look into before you start doing this online. You might need to keep those groups exclusive so that other people in the world can't read the information you're sharing back and forth.
Yes.
And there might actually be some tenant laws. I know I'm fairly certain in California there's laws about what landlords can and can't say to each other about tenants, just like employers can and can't say about past employees.
Larry,
so you want to make sure you're clear on that before you start a group like this.
Larry, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to Santa Cruz now from Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to go to Santa Cruz, and we're going to take a call from Ann. Ann, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm trying to help a friend. She's got an external USB, a little Western Digital passport.
Is this like a memory stick?
Yeah.
It's a little hard drive.
2 terabytes. Oh. It's great.
It takes
hard drive. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a passport at 2 terabytes?
Wait.
Yeah,
2 gigabytes?
It'd be 250 gigabytes terabytes. Is the highest the passport drives go, I believe.
Well,
there's my books. They're the little books that also have a power adapter, and those go up to higher capacities.
No. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about the 2 terabytes.
In any case, it's a USB drive.
But what I'm not wrong about is that it's...
It doesn't work.
And it's one of the hard drives that takes the power off the USB.
Yes, and you can see the drive in Disk Utility. She uses a Mac.
Okay.
So you look in Disk Utility, and there it is, but there's no file system on it, and of course she has lots of stuff on there.
Okay.
It has been working...
And then
all of a sudden she plugs it in and she can't see it. And when you plug it in, it makes a noise, but it's not a grinding hard drive noise. It's kind of like...
Does it sound a little bit like...
It goes...
Like warming up?
It goes... Does that 4 times.
Oh.
That's not good.
Oh.
Is that a bad sound?
Wait. So let me make that sound to see if it's right. And it does that like 4 times?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's the problem, Timothy?
That hard drive is sad.
Oh.
Okay. Let me first give you, just in case I'm wrong about this, what she has a Mac. Do you know what kind of Mac she has? Is it desktop
we've
or laptop?
We've tried it on, she has a laptop, okay. And we've tried
Oddly
it
enough,
on
the passport drives, for everybody else out there that has them, sometimes I found they won't work on the USB port on the right side of my laptop, but they'll work on the left side. And why exactly, I'm not entirely sure, but there's something about the USB architecture in the Mac laptops where those ports are actually slightly different
for some
reason.
I've had slightly problems with it too. And actually, I've also had power problems, which sound very similar to this, where it's actually underpowered. And that's another potential. Is there any external power supply for this device? Can you buy one?
You can't. It should have a port on
it. So you could buy one. You have to match it. It would be a little hard. The other thing is plug into a hub.
But wait, there's more. I've tried it on iMacs and my Mac Mini. And it doesn't work on anything.
Okay, what I would do is stop trying this drive that way.
And you want to stop trying the drive. It's important.
There's two things to do at this point. This
is powering it up is hurting it.
Yes. This is what you want to do. There's two things that are going on. Either the hard drive itself is actually having some serious problems, or the enclosure, the thing that actually holds it that gives the USB to it, is having serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is the USB enclosure is not your data. So you want to get that drive out of that enclosure and try it directly.
Which
but that
would not
means
be
a desktop
a
computer,
passport,
not an easy
they're
thing.
They're molded.
They're molded.
Yeah.
Why
there should be some rubber on the bottom that you I haven't seen it done. But I believe if you put some, we might be able to do a web search to see if somebody does an unwrapping.
Before you do any of this thing, what you want to do is ask her, what happens if this data is not recoverable? How important is it to you? And what's a value? What's a dollar value for it? And therefore, if that answer is really high, it means you just stop working on it and you get that thing to a repair shop that will do it. And there, pretty much any tech support group around will take the drive and say, yeah, we can ship it to somebody that can fix it. We're not going to fix it ourselves. But they will try some things that are kind of like what we're trying first. It's going to cost some money. And that might be your first solution. Now, if it's more of an investigation thing and you're kind of curious, you try to figure out how to open up the case, do some Google searches on how to open this thing. You can take that drive and put it into a not a enclosure, but inside a desktop machine. So you can't use the Mac Mini. You can't use the laptop. Or you get another USB enclosure for it and try it that way.
And if you can get adapters that'll take the small IDE on that drive and make it a larger IDE. Also, there's an application that I'm a big fan of that might tell you exactly what's wrong with the drive. It's called SpinWrite, and we'll put a link to that on the website. SpinWrite is a fantastic hard drive application, and it works kind of funny, so I'll just sort of leave it up to you to investigate that and research that and see if that's within your... within your comfort zone or
Anne,
not.
Anne, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Recovering data off broken drives is probably the least fun thing to do.
And it takes forever.
But when you do succeed in saving something...
you won the battle.
You get free brownies for a week. It's really cool. People love you.
I don't know. Here be dragons.
There be dragons there. That's true. That's true. Okay. We're doing a pledge drive, and we want to thank some people that have already pledged. If you're not one of these people that Miles is about to list off, you need to pick up the phone and call us and pledge. 888-777-1507. And I'll give that information again in just a minute. Miles, who do we have to thank?
Thank you so much to Chris from Boulder Creek, William from Carmel Valley, Gordon from Salinas.
Sweet. Thank you so much for participating. Look, I wanted to get a certain set of people to call in during this hour to pledge, and all we need is two more people, which means right now if you call us, you'll be one of those two people. And if then you call us again... No, that's not true. If you call us, you'll be one of those people. So do it right now, please. The phone numbers are 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. Let me put it this way. You listen to Geek Speak, you kind of know us to some degree. Timothy's a little new, but Miles and I have been doing this for 8 years, right? And you kind of know the voice and everything. And if we kind of touch base at some point, you might invite us to lunch on your dime. You might go, you know what? I've liked your show. Lyle, I'll buy you lunch. Well, buying me lunch is, that's like $15. I actually eat a lot. It might be $20. I'll bring my family. You go up to $50 right there for lunch. And that would be something that would feel right because you've enjoyed the show and you might want to do that. And if you're doing with Miles, he doesn't eat much, so it'd be really cheap. You'd probably buy him a drink. In any case, let me just put it in that perspective. Just thinking about what we've done for you and how you feel connected to us, it's worth it to call in. And I'm not going to go to lunch with you, and mostly because I don't know you directly. I know you through KUSP. So instead of buying me lunch, buy KUSP lunch. Call up KUSP right now and say, yes, we appreciate the shows, not just Geek Speak. We appreciate all the shows. And pledge. Pledge what you feel is fair. 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. We have two more spaces right now for people to get the numbers. So I'd really appreciate you calling so that I don't feel like a fool for the rest of the year. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. The Geeks this morning, Miles Elam. Thank you very much, Miles.
Always a pleasure being here.
Timothy Jordan. Thank you very much, Timothy.
Always a pleasure.
GeekSpeak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation and offering one appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. Broadcasting HD radio on 88.9 FM. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Arto, on the web at kusp.org. You just listened to another episode of GeekSpeak via our podcast. Would you do us a favor? Please go to your favorite podcasting index site, whether it be iTunes, Dig.com, Odeo, or another site, and write a review or give us a vote to let others know what you think about GeekSpeak. Thanks, that'd really help us out. GeekSpeak is supported by PreownedCar.com, PreownedCar.com, where anyone can post their vehicle for sale or browse to purchase a pre-owned car from other car owners. More information available at PreownedCar.com. This is Lyle Troxell for KUSP. Thanks for listening.